I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Youper.
In front there for L'Esperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot! O'Gillies with the goal!
I love the UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Penalty. The penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And, yeah, the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93, live on a Monday morning, getting ready for the big series coming up on the road at Ferris State. Huskies coming off a very good series against Alaska. 14 games in a row, the Huskies have been able to beat the Nanooks, and that's pretty impressive. There's been some close ones in there, too, including Saturday night. Coach Schott is with us. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
You sound like you're a little bit under the weather, catching that working on that cold that just about everybody else has had to go through.
Just coming down with it on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on the wins, Coach. Those are a big, I believe, our first sweep at home this season, too, if I'm not mistaken. And it was just a good weekend of hockey. I know there was some play in there, especially in that third period on Saturday night, that you weren't too happy about, and that's why you called that very important timeout. It seemed to kind of turn things around a little bit.
Yeah, but with that, it wasn't. It was just with our puck management, our defensive zone coverage and things was. We played good hockey. The things that we're working on, our guys put a good emphasis on, and right now it's when things are getting away a little bit, when we're getting distracted a little bit, when we're losing our focus and our vision, that we have a little bit of problem, and we have and trying to find a reset button to get us going, to settle us down a little bit. But I thought our guys played good hockey. We didn't give up much in either third period. Even with it being a relatively third period or even third period on Saturday night, we'd like to come out and dominate it. Fairbanks wasn't generating a lot. They just had some time, so a little bit more time in our zone and things, but a lot of that was because we were giving them the puck and it was on puck management. So we wanted to make sure we focused on that.
We had the captain, Brent Baltus, out of the lineup this past weekend. That allowed for Evan Anderson to get back into the lineup. And, boy, I thought he played two really solid games with that line.
Yeah, Evan did a good job for us. He got in there and he gave us some balance and gave us some really good minutes. And it was important for our depth and for our team moving forward because there's things are going to happen. And you need to have somebody in there that's got some minutes played and things. So he did a good job filling in for us.
Evan Anderson played with Thomas Beretta and Ray Bryce, and that line seemed to give you some good time, but also put some good offensive chances on net and scoring some goals.
Yeah, they did. But also, I gotta give Dallas Stewart a lot of credit. Dallas was doing a lot of juggling up front. Just trying to find combinations that would work and get guys trying to go with fresh bodies and things because, through penalty situations and things like that. So as an example, on the winning goal, Ray Bryce was out there with Joel L'Esperance, and Ray applied great pressure on that goal with the last minute left. Ray applied great pressure on that puck to force a turnover that went to Ock, and then Joel was able to get free in some hard ice there and get a deflection in. So there was a lot of juggling that went on with bodies and a lot of interchanging of lines as well, and I thought Dallas did a great job. And I also thought that Brooksy did a great job. He spent some time with the power play unit and got that power play unit I don't know if we got a power play goal on Saturday night, but we got two. I think the first one might have been a power play, but we got two goals, I think, right after the power play ended. And Misiak's goal was a deflection before they got back at it. It was a follow-up line and things. So, I think our staff did an excellent job in the last 2 weeks of preparing our players.
Yeah, they have, Seamus Donahue's goal was, listed as a power play, right?
That was the one I think they originally gave it to Gavin Gould and then they changed that to Misiak. That was our first goal, right?
You mean Seamus Donahue?
Yeah.
That was our first goal. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So but again, I think the staff did an excellent job throughout, and then, you know, we were making sure that the message we were sending was we want to be just a tougher team to play against. We want to play a more physical kind of a game, and and Tyler Schlass is highly involved in that. So again, I thought our staff did a really good job preparing us, and I thought our players did a good job of executing.
Well, how about the game that Mitch Meek had? A couple of goals in that Friday night.
Here's Meek with a shot. He scores! Mitch Meek with the goal for Michigan Tech. And that is his second career tally, right through a big screen, and the Huskies take a 1-0 lead. Reitmeier with a shot and a save made there by Martinson down to the corner. Bryce to Reitmeier. In front, Meek scores! Mitch Meek with the second goal of the game. What a play by Reitmeier. And the Huskies go up 2-1.
Right, in that second goal, Ray Bryce and Reitmeier really worked hard to get that puck to the front of the net. And nice, good timed cheat, I guess, in from the point position for Meek.
On the second goal. On the first one, good job on a face-off, mm-hmm. face-off execution there. We won the draw. Smitty won the draw. And, you know, you wonder sometimes, I've often thought this, because if from a goaltender standpoint, you get a great screen in front of the net. And when a goalie can't see the puck, you know, I think that's as valuable or more valuable of an assist opportunity than a guy that makes that might make just an easy play on a breakout or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you don't get an assist, so the only assist goes to Smitty. But it was a great draw. We battled in there. He won the draw. Meeker was able to pull it across the blue line and find a spot. And then on the second one, again, that was mismatch line combination there that got us that opportunity, because normally Reitmeier is playing with Stamen and Misiak. So mm-hmm. he's out there with Ray. Ray Bryce had a tremendous weekend for us on his, you know, he got back to that pest on the ice, you know, that bug that was after everybody was finishing his bumps. He was forcing turnovers. They knew he was on the ice. He was always on the charge. He was on his toes attacking. So I thought he did an excellent job, consistently throughout the weekend, and he was rewarded. We want to make sure that we're sending the right message, and his effort was rewarded with a lot of ice time.
Well, it's good you're getting a great play from so many different players now, Coach, that you are able to take guys out and put them back in if they're not performing right. And Ray, I don't know if Ray maybe felt comfortable a month ago, maybe, or before he came out of the lineup when he was in there pretty steadily. And I know that can happen sometimes. You get a little bit of that comfort level that you're going to be in every night. And him coming back in, boy, he really played well last week.
I don't know if it's comfort level. But there could have been something to that. But there was what Ray, as an example, he was such a valuable part of our early going, mm-hmm. The early success that we had in the icebreaker tournament, things like that. Had a big goal on a forecheck where he poked a puck off of a Duluth player's stick in it, and the goaltender wasn't ready for it. Just on a forecheck, didn't shoot the puck or anything, just knocked it off a stick and got it going towards the net. And as far as being able to use that line, we like to show our guys what we want. What we want to see, and not, you know, we'll do the mistake stuff, the stuff that they have to get better at individually with the individual, mm-hmm. you know, in offices, but we don't do a ton of that in front of the group. So as far as execution, team execution, Ray was in on most clips that we would have as far as forechecking, rotation, neutral zone coverages. He just, attention to detail is really good. Then what happened is other guys' work ethics started picking up. We were really putting an emphasis on trying to get more offense out of all of our guys. Cause if you recall what happened, we had the primary focus of our offensive production was coming out of the line of L'Esperance and Gould and Lucchini, and they started getting matched, and we couldn't get them on the ice against. We had a lot of road games, so other teams got line changes on us, so we couldn't sneak them in, and we were having trouble getting them in, and so they started going cold on us, and then the big emphasis was on getting depth, you know, making sure that working on our depth within our lineup of being able to play hard, which everybody was starting to play harder, yet making plays. And Ray was struggling with the making plays part of it. And so I think he got to, in his mindset, a misconception of trying to create offense with it taking away from that hard work that he does that gives him his other things. So maybe slowing down to make a play and things like that, where his effectiveness is in the charge. Mm-hmm. It's in knowing exactly what to do. We have some great clips to show the team today on some neutral zone transition where his line peeled off right away, a turnover in the neutral zone, and they got right into D zone cover, and then we were all set for transition again. That's the type of thing, the attention detail on everything that we want. And that's what Ray got back to. He got back to just playing his game, and then things start happening for him playing his game.
And it did. He got a goal on Friday night, a big one, too.
Face off to the right of Martinson. It'll be Stamen taking the draw against Teetering. And the Huskies will hold it in. Shot towards the goal. Loose puck is there. Here's a chance now. A shot taken there by Bryce. Another shot. Scores! Ray Bryce with the goal. The Huskies go up by two.
You know, look at that goal, too, right off of the faceoff. He was a big part of that goal before it even happened because of the fact that he was able to kind of lock shoulder to shoulder to the guy that was going out to the point, and that helped, I think, Ocker, whoever it was, hold the puck in and have some time with it.
Yeah, it was again, Ray did a great job. You know, you liken it to even me. I think part of when we were getting on our slide, or, you know, playing inconsistent hockey and things, you know, I'm trying to maintain as much of what we did before as I could. And Joe Sean's not Mel Pearson either. You know what I mean? Like, we can't, my strength is in teaching. Even my strength when Mel was here, like that, what he turned over a lot of things to me, and it was the one-on-one time. Now, as a coach, guys don't open up to you like they do when you're an assistant coach. So mm-hmm. you lose some of that one-on-one time. They go to the assistant coaches because they don't want the coach who they think makes all the decisions to know their weaknesses or know their vulnerabilities or know what they really feel that they have to work on. So what we tried to do here also is get back to that accountability factor and that teaching factor. So we all have to stay within what we are as people.
Well, the Huskies, with that Ray Bryce goal, went up by a score of 3-1. And Chad Staley then scored at the 12:37 mark right after. That was, can you give us a little insight on that goal after Ray Bryce's goal, Coach, getting a little bit of separation, then letting them get right back in the game?
It was on a face-off play, and it was absolutely breakdown in coverage by all the players on the defensive zone. Everybody let their guy go. It started in front of the net, and then Mitch Meek went to compensate for that, and then I believe it was Reitmeier that was down low that took the draw, went to compensate for that, and all of a sudden we had three guys standing around with loose puck in front of the net, and they batted in a loose puck. That was the only scoring chance they had of the third period, the only one they had, and it ends up going in the net. And that's the biggest thing right now on the goaltending side, now things that we have to work on. They're all good goals. Every goal that Devin let in this weekend was a good goal. The first two goals, you know, a turnover on the first one, and turns into a 2-on-0, you know, a tight 2-on-0, and they score on it. The second goal again was a breakdown in front of our net on a play, a missed breakout and things. So
Saturday night game.
But even on Friday's games, they were all good goals. There wasn't a goal that you'd say, mm-hmm. oh, he'd like to have that one back. But in my eyes, they're just scoring chances. And we're getting those same chances at the other end, you know, and sometimes they're turning into where we're only getting one goal or things like that. We're working really hard to get those goals. So, but we didn't give up much. We gave up, I believe, two on Saturday night in the third period. They scored one. We gave up one on Friday in the third period, and they scored one. So, that's the area of our goaltending. Devin did an outstanding job. But it's still a job, you know what I mean? You still have to come up, and that accountability factor are the things that we're looking at throughout the lineup. But on that play that you're talking about,
right.
Breakdown in coverage, it was breakdown execution at a critical time. I think we took our foot off the gas on right after we scored the goal. It was off an icing play, and we let our coverages go.
Well, we let that get them back in the game. They're back in within one, but a big goal by Mark Ott.
Back down low, up top, Mitch Meek over. Here's Stamen. They're doing a good job of getting over there, so Stamen can't take that one-timer. Back up top for Meek again. Slid over for Ock. He'll shoot, score! How about that? Mark Ock somehow found a way to get it through, and the Huskies finally get a power play goal.
Well, Ocker said that went off of the defender that was coming out towards him. That probably helped in that puck getting through there and fooling the goaltender a little bit, Martinson, on the play. But nice power play goal for the Huskies. And you can hear in the call, they were all over Stamen on that right side, weren't they? They weren't allowing him to do anything with that puck.
Right. But what I liked about that is we've been talking as a team. We're really good when we come out on a Friday night. you know, the first period we had Friday night was tremendous. If you remember the first period.
15-4 were the shots.
And two of those were on, in the last, on that 5-on-3 when they got the 5-on-3 in the last minute of the period. So they hadn't created anything in the period up until that point. But what we, as the games go on, And as the weekend goes on, we aren't as good. Like even Saturday night, you know, you could argue we weren't as good as we were Friday night. Maybe we were, maybe we weren't. In a lot of ways, we were better. In some ways, we weren't as strong. But an attention to detail, and that's again why you know I'm crediting Brooksy with the work that he did as well. But this group was the group that I work with. And I was glad that we got that third period power play goal. Mm-hmm. We got some good movement, and as you said, they were compensating hard on Stamen, and we were able to get the puck to Mark Ock. And instead of playing with it and things like that, we had established some things earlier, and Ocker found a shooting seam and got that and just took it and hammered it. And we had a good screen in front, and if we got a deflection, we got a deflection. Those things, same things going our way. So, but it was a huge goal. A lot of times with the power play, it's not the amount of power play goals you get, but it's the timing of when you get them, and that was a big one that opened it back up for us.
It did, went up by two, and then Thomas Breda with the half empty net goal. It doesn't go down, it's an empty net goal, and as a goaltender for Martinson, that's got a sting even more because that goes against his record. He was halfway to the bench for the extra attacker. The Nanooks turned the puck over, and Thomas Breda was, I think I called it at center ice, but he was really at our blue line when he took that shot.
Yeah, he was more at our blue line. But and Tommy Breda was another player that played exceptional for us. He played physical. His bumps were high. And you know what he really did? He was a big man on the walls. We've been doing a lot of work on making sure that and not turning those pucks over on the walls and making good strong man plays, and he made a number of good plays in both the breakouts and in through the neutral zone on the walls. He did an excellent job for us.
Huskies go out to the victory. They win 5-2 on Friday night, and the Huskies outshoot UAF by a 42-31 count. Michigan Tech 1-for-6 on the power play, 1-for-5 from the Nanooks, and Devin Carroll gets the win, his second of his career, and that was 29 saves for Devin. Martinson in goal for Alaska had 37 saves. The Huskies won the faceoff battle too, as they win 39 and lose 30 in draws, and really good on faceoffs. Jake Lucchini, coach, he had 12 wins and 4 losses, and Alex Smith didn't lose a draw. He was 4-0 on faceoffs.
And we've been spending a lot of time that every day we've been working on our draws, and it paid big dividends. We got 2 goals off of faceoff plays. Mm-hmm. 2 goals on that on the night on Friday night were off faceoff plays, the first one for sure.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk about Saturday night's game. Your questions are coming in. We have them, and we'll ask those later on the show too, Coach Sean. If you haven't gotten yours in and you're listening live on Monday morning, the email address is dj@themix93.com. Joe Schoenauer continues right after this on Mix 93.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No.
Sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake Accounting prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake Accounting. Lake Accounting will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake Accounting is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake Accounting, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Let's go to Saturday night's win. The Huskies taking on the Alaska Danukes for the fourth time this season, winning the first three games, including Friday night's game. The Huskies got into trouble early on Friday night with a couple of giveaways and some play, substandard play, I guess, according to Coach Schott, inside of our zone to give them a 2-0 lead.
And Michigan Tech. Well, trying to get away. Here's a turnover by Reinke. A pass in the front, a pass there again. He'll score. Nice play to Kyler Klein. And the Huskies with a bad turnover in their zone. Nando's taking advantage of it, and Klein gets the second of the weekend. Sends it to the sidewall. Puck came out to the middle, back to the point now, controlled by Justin Klein for the Nando's. Shot to the front, and a goal! 2-0 Alaska. Burying it this time was Tyan Taylor Munson. And the Huskies are down a couple with 11:08 left to go in the first period.
Well, I wanted to get your perspective again, Coach, on those first two goals that we gave up on Saturday night to get us in a hole early on in the game.
Yeah, the first one was Mitch picked up a loose puck, an errant loose puck, and didn't see the player to his right. So he didn't pass the puck and turn it over. He got stripped from behind, and he was looking for a pass option for that. And it was a split-second deal. He got lifted. And then that was a little bit of where our guys were cheating offensively a little and trying to jump up ice, trying to get some free ice. Mitch was looking for that open guy, and they turned it quickly back the other way against us from the hash marks, and we're able to get a 2-on-0 at the net, a quick 2-on-0, and they made a nice play on it. The second one was a missed coverage out of the corner, something we've been working hard on, and it was we let one guy. Everybody was pretty. Two of the guys were pretty much in the right spot, but our centerman didn't stay with coverage. He was just occupying no ice at all, and they were able to quickly get a puck off the end boards, a shot from the point off the end boards, and throw it in the slot to the open guy that was wide open. The coverage was pretty good on the puck. And our secondary coverage was good, but our third man didn't stay with a man at all, didn't identify a man at all, and he was, again, kind of cheating a little bit for offense. So two breakdowns in our zone that you don't want to have, that attention to detail. When you're trying to get a sweep, that fourth period is the most important period to come out and be strong in that fourth period. But more importantly, you know, the Saturday nights are the nights, you know, we came out the same way, and this is the concern we have now, and what we'll focus on is coming out and against Arizona State and not being as strong as we want to be, and coming out against Bowling Green, though, at Joe Louis, we were really good. You know, we had a really good first period and a really good two-thirds of the second period. So, but we want to come out on those Saturday nights and make sure that we're ready to go and get and nail down those sweeps and have a really good period.
Was this goal by Seamus Donahue with 5 seconds left to go in the first period the biggest goal of the game for us, do you think, to send us into that intermission, not down by two, but down by one, and hand some momentum?
Yeah, I get maybe being down 2-0, but that goal by Joel Esperance with a minute left in the game was pretty.
True.
That won the game for us. But it was a big one. It was great face. It was great power play execution. We had the power play and we were able to get that goal, and that was a huge play.
Michigan Tech with 14 seconds to work with here. Donahue over for Reinke. Reinke surveying the landscape. Gets it back up. Donahue shot. Scores! Pass over for Reinke. Donahue took the quick shot and it somehow squeaked in. And the Huskies get a big power play goal with just 5 seconds left in the first period to pull within one.
Huskies then took the lead in the second period.
Donahue over for Reinke. Reinke will skate it up. Penalty is over. Good kill by Alaska. Now taken by Reitmeier. Centering pass all the way back. Here's Reinke walking in. Goes to the back door. And Michiak tips it in for a goal. Wow, what a play by Mitch Reinke and Justin Misiak. And the Huskies have tied it up with 7:26 left to go in the second. Stamen will work it over for Reitmeier, coming up the middle, and Reitmeier will shoot it in. Line change being made by him. Stamen goes in on the forecheck. Oberstein able to come away with the puck, but then turn back. And here's a steal, centering pass in front. Scores! Tom Esperetta with the goal. What a play from behind the net. forcing the turnover. And Michigan Tech gets their first lead of the game and a goal by Thomas Beretta.
Well, you talked about how Thomas Beretta played well on weekend. He certainly did, and that was a nice play there. But again, Dylan Stamen doing the great forechecking, Jackson picking up the loose puck and just delivering it to the front of that. And that goal right before that with Mitch Ranke's pass shot to Justin Misiak in between the hash marks was fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know, it's something. First of all, that the Misiak goal, the one that tied it, as you said, it came right on the heels. It seemed like Alaska took them a while to get back into that play. But I could be wrong on that, but it seemed like I remember looking at the clock to wonder if it was still a power play goal, because it was at the end of it. But Misiak, it was a quick shot and another one of those deflections. Three of our goals that game were the same type of play, a shot and a deflection from the slot area, including the game winning goal. So that's another area that the guys are getting much better at, is getting free in that slot area and getting their sticks on pucks and defensemen shooting for sticks. But that last goal was just that was just a great job by Dylan Stamen. We were on a line change. Reitmeier was coming off, making a change. And by the way, Reitmeier was tremendous on the weekend. He's really growing. Five shots in Friday night's game and made, set up some great scoring chances, let alone some goals. But Dylan got in there on the line change and got in there and created havoc on the battle and gave us a chance to get some guys on the ice. And it was the guy that came off the bench that ultimately got the goal. Mm-hmm. Jake Jackson went in and was a great first, second man on that puck. Got the puck. It was able to come free on the battle that Stamen created. And it was just a timing. It was bang, bang, where Stamen, the forecheck, Jackson picked it up and Brett was coming off the bench into the high slot area and was able to close on it. So it was a great, great play by all three players. Tremendous execution. Great attention to detail on everybody doing their job and being in the right spot. And I was proud to see the guys get a goal like that.
We go into the second intermission, and not a lot of shots in this game, Coach. I mean, the final shots were 24-21 in favor of us, but there just wasn't a lot of shots on goal. But we go into that intermission leading 3-2, and then we give up a power play goal. Zach Frye did not take long at all to tie the game up with at the 5:26
mark. Here's a shot from the point. No, Frye holds on to it, sends it over for Thompson. Shot from the point, scores! Frye from the point ties the game up on the power play. The Huskies have been taking too many penalties here tonight. Finally, Alaska able to bury one, and we've got a 3-3 hockey game.
Boy, Frye, he is good at finding shot lanes, isn't he, and getting those through.
Yeah, and he shoots the puck hard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a play, again, similar to ours at the end of the first period. It's right off the faceoff, and that's how important faceoffs are. They win the faceoff, they bring it back. Frye started with the puck. He couldn't find the shooting lane he wanted, so he dished it to his partner and then opened up to get it back. And he was able to get it through two of our guys in shot blocking territory and get it into the net. But again, I credit our guys. You know, that's something, shot blocking is something we have to get, you know, we have to get a lot better at that. I still don't know how you can't get in front of a shot, you know, from being a goaltender. When you're that far, when you have that much of an advantage of being that far out in the net, you wonder how you can't block a shot. But it happens. You see it at all levels all the time, but it certainly is a skill and something you have to work on. You don't get the same feel when you do it with rubber, you know, like sponge pucks or tennis balls, because you can't pop that puck around on, you know, as well as, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. As far as moving the puck around and then having to have a guy stay in the shooting lane, but you can basically get them to feel a technique, I guess, of just getting out and getting big and getting low. But again, the thing I was proud about in both nights is the overall, attention to detail. That was a power play goal. That was a well executed play. But the overall attention to detail of giving up, even though a team may be pushing hard and giving everything they have and pushing hard, we didn't give up much. We didn't give up much. And when we did turn the puck over and things like that, we were attentive to our responsibilities and making sure that they didn't end up in our net or into quality scoring chances. So, I give our guys a lot of credit for we've been pushing them hard on that attention to detail and being at your best when your best is needed, when the game's on the line. And we've been talking about, where we have an easy game, and by easy game, what I mean is we don't face adversity in the game. No game's easy, but we're against a BC. We go up 3-0, and things are working really well. And then we don't really have a big, you know, something happen that's, you know, you have to come back from. And those games we've been fine in. The games where we're down, like I guess in this one 2-0, but when we're down against like an Arizona State or at Fairbanks down 3-0, we come back and we battle in those games. It's the grind game at the end of the game, and this was, and I think this was a grind game. This was a, you know, it was a one goal game in the third period. It was a tight game. It ended up being tied, and we found a way to get through that game and come up with a win. And that's really important. Those are where you gain confidence in your things. This is where we have a lot of teaching clips that we can show them of guys doing a great job with the game on the line, executing and doing their job. And that's what's extremely important. And that's where you grow.
Well, 18:54 was the time of the game winning goal, and it was a big goal in many ways. The Huskies get the what ended up being the game winner from somebody that has struggled to put the puck in the net, has been playing great hockey, and has stuck with it, and finally got rewarded.
Neither. It goes forward, but the Huskies got a piece of that one. Here's Lesperance one-handing it to the side of the goal. Couldn't quite get it to the front. Here's a shot by Ott. Tipped in front. Lesperance scores! It has been a long time coming, but boy, that one's going to feel good as Lesperance tips it in to give the Huskies a 4-3 lead with a 1:06 remaining in the third.
Seventh goal of the season for Joel Lesperance. Mark Ock and Ray Bryce get the assists on that goal, and I know everybody on the team felt pretty good for Joel.
It was great. And, you know, Joel is really, really trying to play a complete hockey game. He's really, really working at it. His bumps were way up. He was first man on the forecheck a lot. He had a really good week, and he really paid attention to try to do things and be an example for our players on the right way to play the game, finishing his checks, staying above his checks, doing the right thing. And the irony of it and the great thing of it is the goal was a muck goal. It was a goal where he found ice in a slot. He was in hard ice, and then he battled to get into that position. We won a battle on the wall that he was involved in to start with to get it up there, initially off the faceoff, and then he was able to get into position and get his stick on a puck. And there's nothing pretty. I mean, we thought it was beautiful, but I mean, as far as no tic-tac-toe, no mm-hmm. nothing like that, it was a grinding type of a goal by a big man battling for position. It was a great play again by Ock. Mark Ock scored the night before. He's in the same boat as Joe. Those guys were really sticking with them and trying to help them. They're tremendous hockey players. They're great men. They're in their senior years trying to have the best years of their careers and gripping that stick just a little too tight. And the point of emphasis we're trying, you know, you do things the right way, fellas, eventually things will work out. Do things the right way. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to, you know, overhandle a puck. You know, I know with Ocker, one of the things that we've really been pointing with him is just take what's given you. Brooksy says it perfectly. Take that first, don't pass up that first chance play, which is when a guy's wide open to try to make a better play. Take what's given to you, and both those guys are doing that. They did that this week, and then I think the good Lord looked over Joel and rewarded him for all his effort with the biggest goal that we had on the weekend.
It was a great game, and the Huskies win it by a score of 4-3. I wanted to ask you, Coach, Seamus Donahue gets the penalty in the last minute of play there at the 19:39 mark. It was on an icing call, and I thought we had seen this in Vegas.
We did see it in Vegas.
Where it went to center ice.
Yeah, and we did see it, and I looked in the rule book. I can't find the exact ruling on it. Maybe the Vegas calls were wrong, but those were good referees. I'll send it. I tried to look it up myself, to find out, before contacting the league office on it. But we'll contact league office and just get interpretation. But what we were told is that because it certainly didn't happen, the play didn't happen after the whistle. We watch it on video we'll leave the call alone, but they were chasing it. They had actually better position than we had. It could have easily been waved off, but they decided to call it icing, but the contact was made prior to the icing, and they called roughing after the whistle is what they told us that the call was. So if it was during the play for sure, based on the interpretation that we got out of Vegas a couple of weeks ago, that face off, would precede it. It doesn't, because on a, the problem, the, what we're talking about here for the people who don't understand, on a penalty or on a delayed penalty,
what happens is,
no matter where the puck, the whistle is blown, it could be in the defensive zone for the team that's going on the power play, the play automatically comes to the offensive zone. The interpretation that we've gotten is that, and as you said, is that when there's an icing play though on the team that's going on the power play, an icing play, the play comes outside the zone. And there's 20 seconds left in the game, and so every second counts that, that they have to work and get it in the zone. So we wanted that faceoff. We wanted to make sure that they were sure that the faceoff doesn't come outside. And, they said it never comes outside. Now, well, it does, that's not the rule because there are situations where it does, but, on this particular one, we'll get an interpretation of it.
Very good. Devin Carroll with 18 saves gets the win. Della Maggiore, 20 saves gets the loss in goal for Alaska. The Huskies, losing the faceoff battle on Saturday night, 33 losses, 26 wins, but Joel Esperance, 9-0 on faceoffs, was really strong on the draws.
Yeah, and that's important. That's a guy that did his job. And again, we referenced that. Joel did everything that we asked him to do. Everything that we've been talking to him about, he completely bought in and did it. And his impact on the game was huge. And not only that, but his bumps, you know, he was playing, staying above the puck, finishing his checks and even a couple times where, you know, the one thing now that we'll really focus on with him is that when he makes those bumps is trying to prevent the guy that he's hitting from making a play after the contact. And that'll be something we'll work on with our entire team. But, he did everything we asked and he was rewarded with it. And we had a lot of guys that really paid attention to detail. We have more guys going in the right direction right now, and that's a great thing. And our depth is showing. Our depth on defense is showing. So I think overall our team play is coming along.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We'll take a look at the other action in the WCHA over the weekend and how the standings are looking. And we'll get to your questions in the next segment. It's all part of the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93.
It takes four essential ingredients to brew Bud Light. Barley, rice, water, and hops. But this is a 30-second commercial. So here's the sound of barley malting. It's super quiet. Sorry. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Brewed to be America's favorite light lager. Bud Light, famous among friends. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
Avast, 12 years been sailing through the portage to Joy Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Arr, a jambalaya bite warms me innards all through a cold Lake Superior winter night. With all you can eat, three times per week, weigh anchor for a fast lunch bite or dinner with a brewski served up just right at Joy Seafood and Grill.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Well, the Huskies with a couple of wins. They did their part over the weekend. Unfortunately, the teams ahead of Michigan Tech in the standings also did their part. And, Coach, we were not able to make up any ground on these teams, with the exception of Minnesota State, who had a great non-conference win Saturday against St. Cloud State University. But Bemidji State sweeping Ferris State, and the Beavers a couple of points ahead of the Huskies. Northern winning both of their games against Lake State, and Bowling Green pulling out their wins against UAA in Bowling Green this weekend. So no ground to be made up yet, or was made up over the weekend.
Well, I think when at this time of year, first of all, the cream rises, right? The cream comes to the top. But I think by not losing any ground with all these games, everybody's pretty much even now except for Bemidji having two games in hand on us, and we have a head-to-head with them. So I think that by not losing games, we kept ourselves in the hunt, and that's the important thing. All we can do is focus on what we can do, and shift by shift, period by period, game by game, and not be looking ahead. We have to stay focused on the controllables, on what we can control, and that's what our attention is. But you know, the irony on this is everybody's surprised. You know, you talk to people about Northern Michigan, they're surprised about Northern Michigan, and you know, I don't know if it's what, you know, everybody going in to the year, I mean, at least the coaches and things like that, they knew Northern was going to be a good hockey team. Northern has a lot of things in place. They have, first of all, elite goaltending. Now, they won 8 of 9 games in conference down the stretch last year. Mm-hmm. 8 of 9. Like, they were the top team in the league in the second half of the year. They won 8 of 9 down the stretch, including 5 straight shutouts. Like, this team isn't, and they didn't lose. They lost Dominic Schein, which was a really good player. This is a good hockey team. You know, they're highly competitive, strong skating, and then they had the transfer, Rockwood coming in from Wisconsin, who sat out and by Walt Kyle's accord was the top, like, was as good as anybody they had in their team that was winning in the second half in practice. So he was stepping right in the lineup. You can't get a recruit like that to come in and impact the way that he impacted. So, good hockey team. They're doing a great job with that team. But it's not a surprise that they're in the position that they're in to most people.
Well, I agree with you. And, I believe Robbie Payne not able to get a goal, believe it or not, all weekend long, but he did get an assist, I think, on Friday night. But, that means, you know, you talk about Robbie Payne because he's scoring so many goals, but there's a great surrounding cast with him. And yeah. When he's having an off night.
He's a tremendous player. He can score. Yeah. He can score. He can put highlight goals up, and he gets mucky goals. He's a strong kid. They have great players. Rockwood's a great player. Craighead's a good player. Blue's a great player. Klimek is an all-league type player. So they have a lot, and then Tolvanen gives them, you know, there's a lot to be said for that goaltender, Bitzer, you know, who now, congratulations to him, Bitzer from Bemidji is now second all time to a dear friend of mine, Ryan Miller, in career shutouts in the NCAA, career shutouts. And I believe is he a junior? Or is Bitzer a senior now?
I thought he was a senior.
He might be a senior now, but second all-time in career shutouts. He's doing a tremendous job. So there's a lot of quality players, but when you have that goaltender, we had Jamie Phillips. When you have that goaltender that can keep you in every game and steal some games for you, it's just a great asset to have. It gives your team a heck of a lot of confidence.
Well, let's get to a couple of your questions. You still have time to get a question in if you so desire. The email address is dj@themix93.com. Here's a question for you, Coach. Coach, your roster has almost twice as many former BCHL players as any other junior league. Could you tell us what you like about the BCHL and how you would compare it to other junior leagues?
Well, to start with, a lot of those guys, the majority of them I didn't recruit, so, but I do like them, but if they're asking what I get the feeling it's my preference. It's, you know, I like a good hockey player from no matter where that player's from, but what it characteristically is, the BC League is characteristically, a skill league. Like players that have trouble, even recruits that we have that talk about that aren't even getting it done in the North American League, they'll say, well, I what do you think if I go play in the BC League next year? BC League is characteristically younger. At a lot of different times during the year, they have AP players, affiliate players, jumping in and playing for them, and they'll be playing against 15-year-old guys out there, often. It's a younger league for the most part, although it's starting to get a little bit older because there's so many teams out there going after Americans. Now, Chilliwack, as an example, is really loading up on their roster with American type players, as many as they can get it as imports. They aren't allowed to have European imports, so they in Canada. So what they do is they load up with Americans on those import positions. So But there's no preference to it. What you can do is see skill, but it's also a league where I've said before, you can get fooled by skill because you can get a guy, it's a 50 point guy in the BC league, and that's not equivalent to the USHL. You know, it's just not equivalent. You need to be in like a Gavin Gould, like an 80, 85 point guy in the BC league to say that kid will make plays within college hockey. You can see it because 50 points, especially if you're a 20 year old coming in at 50 points in that league, playing against younger guys all the time and having the league figured out and things doesn't equate. So, we have a lot of BC guys we have a lot of guys that we're working with to try to be more complete players here that have played in the BC. But it's an excellent league. I would say that overall, as far as impact in college hockey, certainly they'd be the second to the USHL as far as the players coming out of that league being impact. Their top end guys impact. You know, you got Jost that goes and plays 1 year for North Dakota and signs. Dante Fabro goes to BC and signs. And you know, you got all these. No, he's still at BC, I think. Mm-hmm. But they have they'd be second. But it's more offensive. It's less contact. You can see more skill in that league.
Next question for you, Coach. What is next year's non-conference schedule looking like?
We have Duluth here. We're going to Clarkson. Off the top of my head,
is the Duluth early in the season?
Early in the season. We tried to switch it, but our league, it's so hard with our league to get them, to get people to work together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why it's like, you know, I'll tell you one thing in our league and scheduling. It almost seems like either you're really happy with your schedule or you hate your schedule. And I mean, there's no in between ground. There's nobody that says, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. You either like it or you hate it. You absolutely hate it. And, you know, you look at Mankato, home away, home away, home away, home away, home away, home away. You couldn't make a better schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're home away if you look at their schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we get 4 weeks on the road, 2 weeks at home, 3 weeks on the road, a week at home, then 3 weeks at home, and then, you know, right before Christmas, and you know, so I know those two off the top of my head. I can't recall what else. We obviously have the GLI. We don't have the double trip to Alaska, so we don't get the two extra.
Do you know
games.
Which ones? Are we just in Anchorage next year?
I believe it is Anchorage.
Anchorage, yeah.
I think it's just Anchorage, yeah.
And no out west? Is there anything out west for us?
Off the top of my head,
after
I don't
the GLI,
I don't think
nothing?
So. I know okay. The following year we're going to Arizona State.
Okay, maybe that's what I was
the following
I
year
heard
after the GLI we're going to Arizona State. We have Clarkson coming in. We've been asked to go play in the Hall of Fame game. I don't think that's been announced yet in North Dakota. It's just a one-game deal in November.
Okay. Is there any idea when the Clarkson series is next
No,
year?
We're working with the league on that. We're limited on the amount of request dates we can have.
Sure.
We have the Arizona State date that's a request date. We always have to request to be home on the weekend,
Winter Carnival
weekend, and then we had then the Hall of Fame. If we do the Hall of Fame game, that's a request date for just one game. So we're trying to get the league to work with us because Clarkson is tied up in a lot of theirs, but they can come in December. So we're trying to see if the league can schedule us off in December, and you know, we'll probably have to get Suzanne involved in that to make some calls over there to see if we can't work that.
But we're going to Clarkson next year.
Next year, and then they're returning
the
following year. And we do have Notre Dame committed to come in a few years down the road, and North Dakota has indicated to us if we'll go play in the Hall of Fame game, they'll come back and play us here. So they like coming here. Minnesota, Don Lucia has told us that he's interested in coming here and playing. We're so limited in what we can do with our league. You know, you'd think they, and not only that, with that said, the league members, you'd like to work together a little bit more around that, you know, and do things. You know, we bend over for, it seems like since I've been here, we bent over for teams to help them and help them with their scheduling difficulties.
Right. Next question for Coach. Can you just give a brief description of your assistant coaches and the way they work? That's what they're asking.
Our assistant coaches do a great job. We're actually getting it's not working out completely the way that I intended because Brooksy's he's on the road a lot where I anticipated Dallas being on the road a lot more than that. But Brooksy's been on the road. They're involved, highly involved in the skills. We meet every day to go over video and practice sessions to get, you know, to decide on what we need to work on, what our focus point is. They do a lot of one-on-one with the players. Like I said, Chris has been on the road a lot recruiting. you know, doing a lot of, he's been banging out the leagues hard for us and trying to overlap on a lot of things. So, they're involved in every aspect of what we do. They do, they're involved in part in every aspect of what we do.
Can you, the next question, Coach says, we haven't seen new names coming up on the radar. Are we likely to add any more new people for next year, and how is recruiting going?
Yeah, we're looking to, but we're not going to over-recruit. You know, we're not going to over-recruit. We're not going to commit, you know, you see it happening all the time in college hockey. We're not going to commit 30 guys for 12 spots. Mm-hmm. It's in my opinion, unethical. It's going to get... I want guys to know that when they commit to us, that they're committed to us, and that way we can hold them accountable to the commitment to the best of our ability. You know, there's already going to be legislation in that they're looking at allowing players to transfer and not sit out. They're just making everything. I think in ethics things go the opposite way. I think you have to be. I'm going to operate with honor and integrity, you know, and I'm going to know that our guys are that's how we're going to the type of guys that we want here. Again, like Suzanne says, we want special people here, and it's hard to get that committed loyalty when you're not loyal in return. It has to start with our loyalty to them and our commitment to them, and you know, it works in with us. So yeah, we are still looking to add. We're always looking to add to get better, and we'll adjust our roster all the time based on how things work.
All right, we'll be back, and if you have another question, we might have time to get it in. Quick break. We'll talk a little bit more about the series coming up against Ferris State, a big weekend down at Ferris State Friday and Saturday night. 7:07 will be on the air at 6:30. That conversation coming up after this on the Joe Schaan Hour.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
The deals keep getting better and better in 2018 at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 12-ounce six-packs of beer are on sale all month. Bucko's is your beef jerky, energy drink, Powerade, and Gatorade headquarters of the North, featuring several great deals. Check out their amazing deals on Red Baron and DiGiorno Pizza for those cold Copper Country nights. All sales do not include taxes and deposit at Bucko's, where the party starts in Calumet.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock. 337-5049 Lorium.
Well, only 7 minutes left of the Joe Schaan Hour here on this Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Another question came in for you, Coach, and the question is, what do you think of the move to allow players now to have agents?
In my opinion, they've had them. So, you know, they've called them advisors, but they've had them. You know, they've had people working for them. They're part of groups. We consider them agents anyways, however they term it, and however they walk the line individually. you know, they have to get through the NCAA as far, athletes have to get through the NCAA as far as the amateurism status. So, you know, they're quizzed, they're questioned on it. And, but in my opinion, they've virtually committed to them anyways.
Well, Coach, we take on Ferris State for the third and fourth time this season. Coach Bob Daniels' team always tough against Michigan Tech. They beat us 4-3 back on December 8th at the John McGinnis Student Ice. We come back with a really solid performance the next night with a 5-1 victory. And, you know, this team has been down as far as not getting as many wins this year, but there's just something about the way Bob Daniels coaches, and I know how much you respect him, and he finds ways to beat Michigan Tech, and hopefully that won't happen this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the best. There's no staff in college hockey better than Ferris State as far as when, and I've been up against them I've known them for many, many years. I've been up against them for many, many years. Bob's been around for a long time. Drew's been with them for a long time. Koff has been with them for a long time. So, and Sensor's been with them for a long time, hockey ops. So, they do everything well. Excuse me. But, I'm gonna sneeze.
That's okay.
Excuse me. They do everything well. Face off, attention to detail. The rink is an advantage for them. It's a small, very small rink, where you need to relish in the physical play because it's tight. Their face off plays that they run work better in that rink because they're quick plays. They're bigger players that aren't as mobile play better in that rink because it's not that big and they don't need as much room to get around to get the puck on their stick. They can get on the forecheck quicker. You know, they can take chances offensively, which they know when they can go and when they can get back. So the rink is an advantage for them. They're always good against us. They're like a team like Anchorage that whenever we play them, it's a different hockey game. I think that our best, most complete game that we played against them was the game that we lost 4-3. Up at home, our chances were crazy off the roof, and I think they know that, and you know, Saturday night's game again, I don't think it was a 5-1 game. It was a different hockey game. So I have a ton of respect for what they do, and you know, we'll have to be totally prepared to go in there and play some hockey.
48-25 were the shots in that 4-3 loss.
Yeah,
Michigan Tech outshooting Ferris
State. Yeah, we played a tremendous hockey game in every aspect, except for they got the late power play goal in the third. Again, it was a situation where we hadn't given up much, and then they got the power play goal in the third. And then we had a chance right after that on the power play, and weren't able to do it. So. I'm looking forward to it. It's an opportunity to play a different style of game with your team to see how they can perform.
Will that at all affect who you put into the lineup too with that style of play in that venue and ice surface and everything?
No, we're committed to playing the guys that we feel practice the best. Mm-hmm. The guys that because we really are on a thing, you know, and that goes by a little bit to that question about the coaches, our coaches are strong character people. They don't believe, and I'm talking about Brooksy I'm talking about all of them, Tyler involved too, but Brooksy in Dallas, they don't believe in shortcuts. They don't believe in doing things the wrong way. They think that habits, you know, that the habits become what you are and you have to have proper habits. So in order to do that, you have to do it we have to see that every day in everything that we do. And we have to live that way as well, which they certainly do. So, we'll go by, we'll judge our guys on practice, how they perform in practice, whoever does the best job. Hopefully we're putting the right guys in the lineup and we're putting those guys in the lineup. And then it's their obligation to perform in the game as they perform in practice and not just be practice players, you know, that can get the job done in practice. But when you get an opposing body out there that's going to push back and fight back, that your game doesn't change. Mm-hmm. That's why a guy like Tommy Brett and Ray Bryce, they stand out because they don't change. They are what they are every day and they're valuable to your hockey team.
Well, let me ask you, Coach. I asked you last week at this time too. Devin Carroll played the last two games and got the win. Does he have a head up on the other two right now going into the weekend, yet you're still going to evaluate throughout the week at practice?
There's no heads up. Devin did a good job. He met our number on Friday night. I think there were 12 scoring chances against and two goals against, so 1-6, and maybe there's 13, 1-6.5. And that's close to what we want. Saturday night, I believe it was 9 scoring chances against and 3 goals. goals. It's 1 in 3, so that doesn't meet it.
Right.
So it will go by to practice. I think we owe it to all the goaltenders. They've all, you know, Robbie Bedun did a good job when he. We see the same thing all the time out of our goalies. We see a really good effort, and then a so-so effort, and then you go from there and, right. and see what happens. So what we're looking for is, and it's a lot of pressure on them. It's not, but I've been through it, so it's not. You know, I'm not asking them to do anything that I didn't have to live. You know, I played for, you know, Frank Anzalone in college. So, you know, you take it from there and you had to perform every game. And if the goaltending was the issue and the team dominated, then the goaltending was the issue. And I often say, you know, Lake State got awful good when I graduated and Bruce Hoffert went and took my number and got the MVP in the national tournament and won the championship and signed 2 years later. It's, you know, that's the pressure that you're facing at that position.
Coach, thanks for your time. Can you just give a quick thing on Baltus? Do we expect him back?
I hope he is. I think he's day-to-day right now.
Okay, very good. Coach, good luck. We'll see you down in Big Rapids down there to take on Ferris State Friday and Saturday night. 6:30 pregame right here on Mix 93. The Huskies will be heading down, I think, on Wednesday night, Thursday, and playing on Friday and Saturday. 2 weeks on the road before they come back home for the big Winter Carnival Series against Bemidji State. That's the Joe Schottauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ.